I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to announce it until I can live the life of a Christian, somebody once said to me, in fact, recently said to me. Ah, my friend, that is a sad misunderstanding of what it is to be a Christian. Let's look at this in Romans chapter 3, and this is Colin Cook here, How It Happens. Thank you very much for joining me today. How It Happens is a broadcast to train your faith, not simply to inspire you, but to train how to believe and in what to believe, the goodness of God who has given us Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, having explained that there is no goodness in natural humanity, there is no righteousness, neither in the religious man nor in the pagan man, having revealed that, Paul then says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law has been manifested." Apart from the law, that means apart from all human performance, all human effort. And then he explains it this way, "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Not all who obey, but all who believe. The righteousness of Christ is upon them. Now let me tell you what this righteousness is not and what it is. It is not simply legal righteousness. But let me tell you what it does not mean also, and then we'll talk about what it does mean. It doesn't mean that you're infused with righteousness. That is, that you become immediately righteous, or you start living an immediately righteous life. That's why that person who said to me, "I believe in Christ, but I don't want to announce it until I can live the Christian life," he was not understanding the gospel. He thought, I assume, that the righteousness of Christ means, oh, now I have the means to become righteous, but I'm not ready to be righteous yet, so I can't really claim to be a Christian. My friend, that's not the meaning of the good news. The meaning of the good news is that God has provided something that we do not have. So let's talk now about what this righteousness is. God provides a humanity that we do not have and counts it as if it were ours. That is Christ's righteousness. You'll know that I'm right about this when we go through this book further. Let me just say that, though, at this point, because some people will listen to this broadcast and not go any further with me, because they will say, well, that righteousness is not something I can have. I would like to, but I need more discipline in my life. And on they go. They miss the whole message. The message is that Christ has become my righteousness. That is, that he is counted as my righteousness when I am not righteous, when I am a sinner. Now, this righteousness that is counted to me, is not simply a righteousness that says, well, now I'm all virtuous or counted as virtuous. No. There is much more to it than that. How do I know? Because of what Paul says later on in chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. When we are counted as righteous, we are counted as reconciled to the heart of the Father, brought into his home, counted as living in his throne room, counted as being by his side, no longer outcast. And when we are counted as righteous, we're counted as no longer sinners. We are counted as no longer having the power of sin and the punishment of sin upon us. Even though we may sin and fall, we are not counted as sinners, nor judged as sinners. And when we're counted as righteous, we're also counted as no longer condemned, but innocent in his sight. And when we're counted as righteous, we're no longer counted as under the power of death, but we're counted in Christ's resurrected life. So you see, this righteousness is not merely some forensic thing God judging us as innocent when in fact we're guilty, but God bringing us into his home, God bringing us into his heart, and our Heavenly Father declaring us innocent even though he knows we are sinners, and declaring us resurrected in Christ's life even though so many of the things we experience are like death itself. My friend, this is the richness and the goodness of God. So then, let's get a taste of it now, and then let's sip at this more and more, day by day, as we look at these verses. So now, a new situation has arisen. The righteousness of God, apart from law, apart from all human performance, it's revealed in Christ. It's witnessed to by the law and the prophets, right from the book of Genesis, when a seed shall come and bruise the serpent's head. It's witnessed by the law, in that the law tells us we are sinners, and we have no goodness, and therefore we should look to something else. It's witnessed in the law and the prophets by the sacrifices. That sacrificial lamb was in fact a type of Jesus Christ, and it's witnessed by the prophets who actually speak of the coming Son of God and the coming Lamb and the coming sacrifice. And then he comes, our Jesus, and he brings himself to us, and he is our righteousness, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This, you see, is what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, where he says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." That's incredible. And in the New English Bible, this is translated, well, at least the first phrase is translated, "By God's act, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." This Jesus is upon you. He's surrounding you. This is how we rejoice in Christ. Let him that boasts boast in the Lord, not in himself or in his righteousness. So you see, righteousness here is not something attained. It is something given, counted to us. It is not something we reach after, but something that is brought down to us. This gives us a peace which Paul speaks about in chapter 5. "Therefore, having been justified," that is, declared innocent in his righteousness, you see, "by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, my friend, I ask you not to see all of this in a mere theological or biblical or religious term. This means your life. You have a new identity. You may be struggling with drugs. You may be struggling with alcohol. You may be struggling with hetero or homosexual addiction or food issues or intense worries and anxieties and obsessive thoughts or dark, evil inclinations. And you may feel, "It's impossible for me to be a Christian." I say to you, That is precisely why Christ came, to stand in for you and to be your righteousness when you don't have any. If you seek to find acceptance, find acceptance with God by clearing out all the thoughts in your head, you will never get there. But if you realize by faith that you have been accepted by God in the Beloved, and none of the dark thoughts of your mind are counted against you, then slowly your faith will be able to intercept those thoughts and intercept those desires and begin to make headroads against them, do you see? But we often put the cart before the horse because we have not understood who and what Christ is. So righteousness, in a nutshell, is a whole new identity. Christ. Christ is your new identity. Paul put it in Galatians 2 verse 20, as I mentioned the other day, like this. I am crucified with Christ. Paul, in attempting to establish his identity or to describe his identity, starts not with a life but with a death. He says, I'm crucified. I'm no longer there. I'm rubbed out. I'm finished. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yes, indeed, he does live. But wait a minute. Not exactly. For he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. He no longer defines himself within the boundaries of his own flesh and blood. He no longer describes himself as within the boundaries of his own brain. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And so Paul's new identity is wrapped up in this whole issue and experience and reality of Jesus surrounding him, being upon him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. Ah, so there's a companionship that Paul now has with Christ who lives within him. Now, you will not necessarily feel Christ living within you, especially if you're struggling with an horrendous addiction. But by faith, you trust that he is with you and in you and in your spirit. Your flesh is dead. Your humanity is finished. Your humanity is racked with struggles and defeats and enormous conflict. But your spirit is alive in Christ, and it is that that begins to set up a bulwark against the domain of your humanity. That's how it is, my friend. Keep going on with Jesus. Friends, funds are low, and I know that there are many people listening to this program who haven't responded yet, who haven't supported it as yet. I don't want you to feel guilty about that. I want you to enjoy this program and be trained by it, whether you support the program or not. But if there are those out there who feel convicted with the words that I'm saying and say to themselves, well, I've been listening for a long time, I have been learning from this broadcast, I am being trained by it each day, and I can afford to support it. I won't put it off any longer. I will get out my checkbook and I will send that man a check to support this broadcast. Not only this broadcast, but the whole of Faith Quest Perspectives Ministry, which provides for you a CD, a faith training CD each month, a seminar each quarter, a weekly meeting in the Englewood area for Bible study, and also, let's see, what else do we have? Yes, of course, the website, faithquestradio.com, where you can hear this broadcast at any time. So, please send your check to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. You can tell me that you don't want any literature from me, that's fine, or say nothing and I will send you my Cook's Monthly Message by mail. And so I'll see you next time, my friend. Thanks again, cheerio, and God bless.